Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of Daniel chapter 4, we were talking about Daniel as he was telling Nebuchadnezzar the interpretation of his dream. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, we read, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Daniel speaks the truth in love to Nebuchadnezzar. And that's what he's going to do over these next few verses. Now, we should not enjoy when there is a need to preach about hell and judgment. But as we speak of hell and judgment to come, we need to speak that truth in love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6, it says, "Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth." And there are people that just like to gossip. And all the gossip they say may be true, but they rejoice to tell it. And they want to share it with others. Isn't it a shame that we can get Christians to tell without prompting the downfallings of others, but they won't tell others about the saving grace, the restoring grace, the forgiving grace of our God? And usually when a Christian gossips more than they witness, they're backslidden. They're not a very good Christian. You find one with a critical spirit. You find one with a complaining spirit. That's a person that if they're saved, they're not good Christians. They simply don't know what love is about. Now, if anyone had a reason to complain, taken from his homeland, made a eunuch, a slave, Daniel, oh, he could have been critical, found fault, been down, gossiped about the life that Nebuchadnezzar lived. But you see, when God's love is in your heart, you seek to bring others to repentance and faith. Now, as we look on here, then, in Daniel chapter 4, we see verse 20 through 22. And Daniel starts talking about the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. He says, "The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation, it is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong. For thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto the heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth." Now, here is the interpretation concerning the tree. Now, scriptures have shown trees to represent a number of things. For an example, it's represented saved people in Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." The Bible has likened a tree to a nation. The fig tree has been likened to Israel, for example, Matthew 24, verse 32 and 33. There is the mustard tree in Christendom today. In Matthew 13, verses 31 and 32, Jesus says, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof." And so, we see that all Christendom is likened unto the mustard tree. Just understand, the symbol of Christians, peoples, churches, nations, are all represented in the Bible by a tree. Now, in our text, this tree represents the fall of Nebuchadnezzar. But in prophetic anticipation, this tree depicts the ecumenical outreach of one world religion, Allah, Mystery Babylonianism. The tree, in relation to ecumenical importance, is seen in that it is visible to the ends of all the earth. So the tree is a picture of Gentile power in its alienation from God and its beast-like character. What madness when nations are guilty and they tread and trample the word of God beneath their feet, and they despise His holiness when they allow pornography, abortion, homosexual marriages, when the churches open up to rock and roll and dancing and they've lost all sense of holiness and reverence for God. And so this picture of the tree being visible to all the earth is a picture of Gentile power and religion. It was meat for all flesh to feed upon it. Yes, there is a one world system coming, which Revelation 13 tells us that people will not be able to buy or sell unless they have the mark of this beast. Now, again, don't lose sight of the fact that the book of Daniel is prophetical as well as historical. And so in verse 22, Daniel says, "It is thou, O king." Does that remind you of King David after he'd fallen with Bathsheba? He's tried to hide it. The prophet Nathan comes in and says, "Thou art the man." Now, this settles the basic question in Nebuchadnezzar's mind of his part in the dream. Now, I imagine Daniel, in telling Nebuchadnezzar this, is facing what perhaps many medical doctors do when they're telling a patient that they have terminal cancer. It may settle the doubt in the patient's mind, but it also hits them like a ton of bricks. And even as one expects the worst when the doctor tells him, I imagine Nebuchadnezzar expected it. He just needed it confirmed. But, oh, don't we need preachers today that will point at the Nebuchadnezzars and say, "Thou art the man," and call sin what it is and call the ones guilty who they are? Isn't it interesting that in the New Testament, for the church age, we're told to mark them which cause divisions that are contrary to the doctrine? And I think that it's right to point out by name people that are teaching false doctrine, that go away from the doctrines of separation, of holiness, of righteousness. I know a lot of people don't like you to do that, but their reasoning is only sentimental, not scriptural. Now, in verses 23 through 26, the interpretation of the action parts of the dream are given. Notice in verse 23 it says, "And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven, saying, Hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, with a band of iron and brass, and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, till seven times pass over him." Now notice, He uses the word it to refer to the tree here in verse 23, but then he uses the word him to refer to Nebuchadnezzar. So basically, he's distinguishing Babylon from Nebuchadnezzar. The tree, Babylon, is cut down. The stump would refer to Nebuchadnezzar. Instead of repeating verse 14 of the shaking off the leaves and the scattering of the fruit, it simply states to destroy it. Also, completely omitted is the changing of the heart from man's to beast. Now understand, the tree is a symbol of both a worldly kingdom and a worldly church. Kind of like in Revelation chapter 17, where you have the harlot, the religious system, on the beast, the political system. And you see the one world government headed up by the Antichrist there tied in with the one world religion. It is rooted in the earth and depends on the earth for its food and stability. And so the nations and people that look to both the political and spiritual Babylon are represented by the fowls and the beasts that are lodging in it and under it. Now notice verse 24. There it says, "This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High which has come upon my lord the king." Now, Daniel's letting him know, this is from God. Everybody listening to my voice should know that every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God, Romans 14:12. That also is the decree of the Most High God. Those without Christ should know this is the decree of the Most High God in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.